You can go ahead and turn. We'll go ahead and be looking here at 2 Corinthians. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I do hope that you are wanting to hear. Let me turn on my microphone here. All right, so I got my microphone turned on now, so I am glad that you're here. I've been looking forward to this this sermon today, and it's entitled Generosity, and what we'll be looking at today. And basically, we want to look at understanding generosity, and you could even, that's kind of the theme, or also, as we understand generosity today, we also will learn how to be generous. And so, what is generosity? The definition from the University of Notre Dame Science defines generosity as the virtue of giving good things. That's the key, good things. We like to give a lot of things, but they're not always good. The virtue of giving good things to others freely and abundantly. What exactly generosity gives can be various. It can be money, possession, time, attention, aid, encouragement, emotional availability, and more. And according to this study, a number of individual factors include emotions, personality, gender, religion, and sense of identity can lead people to be more or less generous. Actually, the study also said in 2016 that America gave a record of $390 billion to charitable organizations. Well, that tells me something, that people clearly have the capacity to be generous, but they don't always act on that capacity. Generosity is something that many struggle with while others seem to excel. So this morning, I'm not sure when you fall into that spectrum. I'm not sure, you may be one who give very freely, or you may be one who struggles to give and to be generous. But the reason this morning we're going to address generosity is because it's what the text addresses. Which is great, because I'm not preaching on generosity because I think you need it. I know many of you today are very generous. But we're going to look at that because it's what the Bible speaks about in chapter 8, verse 1. Let's go ahead and look here at these verses. And it says this in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now, right now, he's talking about what happened with the church at Macedonia. Corinthian is a church of Corinth, okay? He said, "How that in a great trial or affliction, the abundance of the joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and to us by the will of God." In verse 6, "So much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, I in faith, in utterance, and in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace." Let's pray. Father, I do ask you just for the next few minutes, Lord. I know that everyone in this room has got something on their mind, Lord. It's probably even something that's worrying them, Lord, some concern. But Father, I ask you for the next few minutes, as we look into your word, that you will show us, Lord, how we ought to be generous, Lord, and how we can become generous. And Lord, I ask you, Father, to help us today in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the context is very important. So, here's the question. Why, as he's addressing the Corinthian church, did he just kind of stop and begin to give a testimony of how the Macedonian gave? Well, here's why. Because from the birth of Pentecost, back in Acts chapter 3, I think, the Jerusalem church. So, here it is, the church at Jerusalem. We've got three churches. We got the church at Corinth, We got the church at Macedonia, and now we got the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem had to cope with extreme poverty, okay? Now, there's three main reasons why, okay? There's three reasons why. First, the church in Jerusalem consisted, main congregation was made up of people who were pilgrims. So what do you mean? Well, obviously, remember when Pentecost took place? All these Jews from other countries came to Jerusalem. When they came to Jerusalem, they heard Peter, who got up and spoke in tongues, which was biblical for that time. They heard their own language. Many of them believed. I believe it was 3,000. And then not long after that, 5,000, just the men alone, consisted of the church. Now, many of them didn't have a church. So many of them believers who believed in Christ at that moment stayed in Jerusalem. So you have a lot of people who don't have homes. So and even one writer said that many of the other believers took them in. So they had a lot of people who were living with somebody else. So it was just a lot of people who didn't have home, may not have jobs. So that was one reason. The second reason was persecution. New converts lost their jobs or businesses or were blackballed by other family members. Because remember, the Jewish race did not like Jesus Christ. And if you remember, they crucified him. So even now, so when some of these believers, Jewish believers, believed in God, their Jewish family blackballed them. That was another reason. And then a third reason for the poverty was the economical climate. The Romans had taxed them and made them very, very poor. So, with that being said, Paul recognized this. Paul saw the church at Jerusalem. He saw they needed help. So therefore, he began to take up a collection for them. If you remember in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul actually spoke about that collection. He encouraged the Corinthians to be a part of this offering. Now, obviously, the rebellion had slowed this down. But now that they're all back on the same page, he began to give them instructions again. And to encourage them to be generous, Paul describes the generosity of the Macedonians. So as Paul is describing the Macedonians' generosity, Paul reveals three truths concerning generosity that will help give us a better insight that will hopefully help us be generous. So there's the context, which is very important. So number one, here's the first thing I see here, is the source of generosity. The source of generosity. Now, what this answers is, where does generosity come from? Where does generosity come from? The Berkeley University had a paper called Science of Generosity. And then what it said, obviously I don't completely agree with this, that's why I'm reading it, but through research, debate, the extent to which humans are innately generous, a great deal of research strongly suggests that generosity has deep evolutionary, biological, and developmental root in humans. A number of individual factors, I've already read this earlier, including a person's emotion, personality, gender, religion, and sense of identity. In other words, the university says that our makeup and our environment is a source of generosity. Now, I can partly agree with that, obviously. Some families, some places do encourage generosity more, but it's really not completely not true, because what does the Bible here reveal in the cause of these believers to be sacrificial, to be generous? It wasn't their environment. It wasn't their gender. It wasn't their personality. Here it is. It was their relationship with God. It was their relationship. Okay, that's what it is. That is where generosity comes from, is in their relationship. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 1 with me. Because they've been very generous. And we'll get to it later. But they gave sacrificially. They gave beyond what they could. And look at verse 1. It said, moreover, brother, we do wit of the grace of God. There it is. The grace of God. Okay? So here it is. They took up a collection, obviously. And took up an amazing offering. Look at me in verse 2. It said, how that in great trial and affliction, the abundance of the joy and the deep poverty abound into the riches of their liberality. The ESV says it like this. For in the severe times of affliction, the abundance of joy and the extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. So that's how you can also understand that. It said that a wealth of generosity. They took up a collection that was monumental. It was the example of all examples. It's such an example of generosity that Paul puts into circulation. Think about it. Paul wrote it in this letter to send to the Corinthians, which became the canon of Scripture. Paul said, this is such an example of generosity that I want all of you to know how generous they were. And you wanted them to know. That's what verse 1, it says, we do you wit. That means to make known. And if you read, like I love reading behind on the translation, the one I read behind the most is the ESV, it says, we want you to know. We want you to know. That's what he said. So, in case you don't understand what that means, we do wit. He said, I want you to know. And he said, I want you, Corinthians, to know how generous they have been. But now here's the real question. What caused them to be so generous? What caused them to be so generous that Paul wanted to tell everybody? That's the real question. Well, right here it is. And in them little words I said, it's their relationship with God. It says here again, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This is what John MacArthur said. Their giving was not motivated by human kindness, but by the grace of God at work in their hearts. One of the effects of saving, transforming, sanctifying grace in allowing you to give generously and sacrificially to those in need. Robert Piccirillo said this, all the graces of the Christian character, which includes generosity, exists only by the work of God's grace. Hear me. Generosity come from God. It come from your relationship. They were generous. They were generous because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, if you're struggling with being generous, maybe it's because your relationship with the world is healthier than your relationship with God. Think about maybe your relationship with wanting things and all this is more healthier than your relationship with God. Think about Zacchaeus. When he got right with God, what did it help him to do? Be generous, right? Now, I understand he had stolen from them. But still, when God gets in your heart and your life, when you begin to walk with Him like you're supposed to, it's going to be evident in being generous. What hinders people from being generous, and I'm guilty of this, and that we believe the lie that generosity is born out of our situation. We say things like this, well, of course they're generous. They've got it made. Of course they're generous. They don't have the problems that I have. Well, let me tell you something. That's not true. Generosity, the second thing here, generosity is not produced in your relationship, but in your situation. Not in your situation. So what do you mean? Look at verse 2. How great their joy, a trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounding into the riches of their liberality. Hear it. See, I want you to understand the source is not in their relationship. And is in a relationship. It's not in their situation. See, their situation was not good. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's look at verse 2. The first thing I see here is pressures. It says here in verse 2, it says trials, great trials of affliction. The word affliction, it means the pressed grapes. Okay? That's the idea of affliction. We're not giving any further information, but something in their line was pressing upon them. And most likely it was persecution. Okay, most likely they were being persecuted. Now let's look at another one. It says here in verse 2, so they're being pressured, and it says deep poverty abounded. Poverty is the ideal of extreme poverty. And it's the ideal they hit rock bottom poverty. The word there for poverty is extremely deep. They, when it comes to being poor, they can hit rock bottom. So we see here, it's not in their situation. Their situation is terrible. Their situation is bleak. How many times have we been impressed to be generous but failed to because of our situation? Not the Macedonians. The Macedonians were poor. They were persecuted. They had the pressures of life all around them, yet they were generous. This tells me something. Generosity is not born in your situation. Your situation does not control whether you're being generous or not. Hear that, if you wait until your situation is better to be generous, you never will. You know why? Because there will always be a problem. There will always be something in your life where you say, well, not right now. Whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's giving someone some encouragement, whether no matter what it is when it comes to being generous, if you wait until your situation is perfect, you'll never be generous. You know why? Because that never happened. That never exists. If you find an excuse today not to be generous, you'll find an excuse tomorrow not to be generous. If you don't have time today to talk to someone, you won't have time tomorrow. If you don't have time to sit down and write a note to somebody and say, hey, I'm thinking of you, you won't tomorrow. If you say, well, I don't have enough money to help them out, then you won't have enough money tomorrow. Because you know something about basically money. You know, I got an extra $100 this week. I preached at my father-in-law's church. They paid me $100. Now that's $100 I wasn't expecting to get. You know what, Miss Janet? I don't want to get that $100 now. You see what I mean? So if I had $100 extra, I'd be more giving. No. No. Because it's not a matter of your situation. What you are today is what you'll be tomorrow. You can get $500 more tomorrow, and guess what? You'll still want to keep it. If that's what you want to do. If you want to keep it today, you'll want to keep it tomorrow. It's not in your situation. Whatever it is, whether it's time, money, whatever, if you're not generous today, you won't be generous tomorrow if you're blaming it on your situation, because it's not in your situation. That's what we learn. Generosity is not in your situation. The source of generosity is in your relationship, not your situation. It's in your relationship. And so what that tells me is that if I keep myself not being generous like I need to be, it's probably because I'm not walking with God like I need to. I heard somebody say, and I think I've said it before, one of my professors said, when I catch myself wanting a lot of stuff, it's usually an indication that I'm not walking with God. And it kind of correlates. When you catch yourself being stingy and greedy and all about you, it's probably an indication that you're not walking with God. Because one of the things that when you walk with God, and when God got a hold of you, and when He's transforming you into a new creature, the one thing that's going to be evident is that you're going to be generous. So, now don't get me wrong, we probably go home and sit down and say, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be more generous. But it starts from inside out. It starts with God getting a hold of you and transforming you. And that's what we see here, that it wasn't in their situation, it was in their relationship. So we see the source of generosity. Now let's look at the summary. The summary of generosity. Now, in this case, you want to know, the first question asked, where does generosity come? How are we generous? This answers the question of what does it look like in action. So you may say, well, what does generosity look like? Well, I'm fitting to find out. Paul here is going to give us a summary of their generosity. He's going to give us a summary of how it looks. Let's look here in verse 3. It says, "For their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." So I want you to key in on that last part. Willing of themselves. So that leads us to the first one here. Generosity is practiced voluntarily. I want you to understand it's voluntarily. See, a couple of different translations says this, "of their own accord." I think the New King James said they were freely willing to give. Right here, Paul speaks here, and then one guy said, who chooses his own course of action. In the only place it appears, Paul uses this word, willing, to describe that the Macedonians were not coerced, manipulated, or intimidated, but gave freely. Let's be honest. Now, I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing. But how many times do we win that we're generous because we know we ought to be, but we don't want to? Anybody like that? I've been like that. Any of you? Any of you ever said, you may not never say it, but you know you're going to give. You know you ought to give. And that's a good thing. At least you are being convicted. But you know it's not really, it's not because you want to. See, these people here, they didn't have to be coerced. They didn't have to, let's be honest, they didn't have to have somebody get up here and do a 1 hour, 30-minute promotion to get them to give, like we do at our churches. Which, I understand we want to communicate. No, they were eager. They were willing. They voluntarily gave to God. That's what generosity looks like. So right now, if you want to know if you're generous, do you give willingly? Do you give before having to be asked to give? See, obviously, God wants that. Even now, I'm not going to get into all the debate I read behind people talking about tithe, how tithe was not a command. It was something they wanted to be given freely. I'm not going to get into all that, but I will say that even in the Old Testament, even if you take tithe out of it, they still, in the Old Testament, under the law, they were not commanded, but they were encouraged to give free will offerings. And two examples, in Exodus 25, when they gave to the tabernacle, it said they gave willingly with his heart. First Chronicles 29, it says there, that when it talks about the temple, they gave willingly to that. And by the way, if you add up all the tithes in the Old Testament, it adds up to like 26%, by the way. So anyway, that's just an interesting fact there. Generosity is practiced voluntarily. Let me ask you, when you give, are you giving voluntarily and willingly? I'm not going to get into the debate whether the 10% tithe it was a command or not. I read a little bit. But let's pretend for a minute that it is a command, and if that command wasn't there, would you still give? And if you could find a loophole to get out of giving to the church, or to God, really, would you quit giving? Do you only give because of technicalities? Now, I don't believe that's the case here, but I'm just saying. My point is we are to give voluntarily and willingly. See, generosity is practiced voluntarily, but secondly, it is practiced sacrificially. It is practiced sacrificially. You say, where do you get that? Look at verse 3. He says here, "They up for their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power." To be a generous person, I'm going to tell you something. Go ahead and get ready to sacrifice. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's the thing. If you wait till you can give and it not be a sacrifice for the normal person, that will never happen. That'll never happen. If you wait until you get an extra $100 and don't want it, you're never going to give. You're never going to be generous. If you say, I'll be generous, I get to the point where it's not a sacrifice. Well, then guess what? You're never probably going to be generous. They're rich. Of course they're generous. What I've noticed about a lot of people who are generous, and even if they are rich, they were generous before they became rich. You know what I'm saying? Most people who are generous, well, they may be rich now, but when they were generous before they were rich. So don't wait. My point is, don't wait to be generous Well, you don't wait until it's not a sacrifice. If you wait until then, you'll never be generous. The Macedonians sacrificed. It says here they gave according to the mean, and I can testify, beyond their mean. They gave beyond their power. They gave according to ability and beyond. They gave what was expected, even reasonable, but then they gave sacrificially. To be generous, it'll take sacrifice. And you say, why do you say that? Because it's just like reading your Bible. If you don't read your Bible because you're too busy, you won't when you're not busy. You ever caught that? Have you ever witnessed that? I have. You know, I've been busy, and then get a week of vacation or something, and you ain't got nothing to do. You know what? It's a struggle to read my Bible. Because if you're not going to do it when you're busy, you're not going to do it when you're not busy. Same thing with being generous. If you say, well, I'll be generous when it's not a sacrifice, when that time comes, you still won't be generous. Generosity takes sacrifice, and that's what they did. The summary of generosity was that it's done voluntarily, and it's practiced sacrificially, and then number three, it's practiced eagerly. Look with me in verse 4. And it says this, praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. Now that may not mean a lot, praying. Well, what do you mean? When we think about praying, we think about us praying, but if you, an in word that the New King James uses it like this, begging us earnestly for the favor to take part in the relief of the saints. They begged. They were begging to give to the cause. Instead of being asked, they begged to participate. They were eager to give. Let's be honest. I mean, some of y'all may be real generous, you know, and I know some of you are. Well, I mean, for the average person, I would say, I guess. I might be wrong. And they don't mind giving. But a lot of times, we're not looking for reason to give. Anybody else like that? I'll give when something comes up and hits me in the face or someone twists my arm. But I'm not just going out today and looking for a reason to give. I'm not going to knock on somebody's door and say, hey, how can I help you today? I got an extra $100. I will give to you if you need it. I'm not that eager. You know, or like that, you know, somebody says, well, we need to help them. I said, well, we'll help if they ask again. No. They were out, I mean, not really, but not the attitude, if they were out wanting and looking for somebody, hey, let's go see if that person needs help. But does that describe all generosity? And not just with money. That with time. That's really probably one thing that we're greedy in America. We're all greedy about money, but we're greedy about time. When you get 2 or 3 days off, or when it's family time, how generous are you then? You know? How generous are you? They were eager. See, I think I told a long time ago, I had somebody stop me when I lived here, and I just cooked some homemade pizzas. They were delicious, by the way. They were hot out. Someone knocked on my door. They were just wanting money, you know. I think they were scamming me. I could give them a little something, but not much. And I was sitting there out there talking. And my attitude wasn't right. I wasn't eager to help them. I was eager to eat my food. See, time. I was not being generous with my time, not on the inside. My attitude wasn't like, hey, I'll help you any way I can. And my food don't matter. But that's how eager I wasn't to help them. See, that's what I'm saying. Not just about money. It's your attitude. Only eager to help people? Do we look the other way? Like the Good Samaritan? Are we guilty of going to the other side because we're not eager to help? Because we're selfish with our time? See, that's what here we see here in the Word of God, that they were eager to be generous. Generosity doesn't stop and start when the need is brought up and we're coerced into doing it. Generosity is something as we, as believers, we should seek to eagerly do. Paul sums it up like this. Here's what generosity looks like. It's practiced voluntarily, it's practiced sacrificially, and it's practiced eagerly. Now, only you can take that and know if you're doing that or not. To have a better biblical understanding of generosity, We've looked at the source of generosity, that's in our relationship, not our situation. We see the summary of generosity. And finally, let's look at the suggestion of generosity. The suggestion of generosity. This answers the question, why? Why are we to be generous? Okay, so we look at how to be generous. What's it look like? Now, why? Why to be generous? Well, look at verse 6. It says, in so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace. So this grace is, going back to verse 1, talking about being generous. And he said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. So he said, why are we to be generous? Well, Paul here, he suggests that we be generous because it is expected. Which brings me to the first thing here, the expectation. The expectation to be generous. Paul, now, if you look at verse 8, Paul said, I speak not by commandment. Paul did not command them to give. He didn't make it a commandment, but he definitely expected them to be generous. You say, well, how do you know? Well, he spends 5 verses talking about giving and being generous. He expected it to be a natural outflow of their relationship with God. Look with me, I think it's verse 8, I think. Let's see, yeah. You see that last part? He said, to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, so he said this. So just stay with me for a minute. You'll see how my mind works a little bit, maybe. Now, being generous proves that you love people, okay? And it goes back to love is an action. And in 1 John, Paul said that if you believe in God, basically that you'll love the brethren, right? And he said that one of the proofs that you are saved, that you love each other. So, if I'm saved, that means I'm supposed to love each other, okay? So, if I'm loving each other, that's going to be evident in being generous. So, Paul, if you connect the dot, when we come to this, I think I wrote it down here. He expected them because it was a natural outflow. See, John said, if you're saved, you will love the brethren. And if you love the brethren, you will be generous. That's really it. See, the connection, because if you look at John, that's my mind. Maybe you don't agree with that. It's okay. But then you say, oh, I love each other. I love people. What, well, I'm generous? And one thing, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your time, your money, your talent, your ability. You know, maybe you have a way to share. Maybe you've got a situation you can help someone with. You know, with just sharing your experience. I'm generous. Because if you're not generous, it's an indication of how much you love people. And he said, in the sincerity of your love. So Paul definitely was expecting them to be generous. He even said this in verse 7, in case you still don't know. He said, therefore, as you abound in everything, he said, do this. See that you abound in this grace also. The word abound there, it's called, I think, superabound. And it means to excel. So like for us, it'd be excel. Like, I want you to excel at being generous. And be like, if you had a report card, Paul saying, I expect you to make an A. I expect you to make an A in this category. See, so he did not command them here to give or to be generous, but he definitely expected them to. Here's why, because generosity is a natural expectation for the Christian. Okay, it's a natural expectation. Paul knew that, so he suggested that they be generous. Here's the thing. Well, then, why I say your checklist of what you do and don't do is not what shows your spiritual. This is what shows your spiritual. I'm generous. It's a natural outflow. I'm generous. You say, well, I could be more generous. That's a good spiritual barometer of where you're at spiritually. How generous are you? Then why should we be generous? Because it's an expectation, but also because of the compensation. The compensation. Look at verse 6, 7, let's see here. Now, I'm going to go to, I didn't put a reference down. Galatians, I'm not sure, but I'll read it, listen. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly, which is within, that goes back to what I've already said about being willing. You interpret the Bible and lie the Bible. All of necessity, not being forced to, for God loveth a cheerful giver. See, you say, what are you trying to get at? I'm trying to get at here that when you are generous, you'll be compensated. You say, well, that's not a good, yeah, well, it may not be a good reason, but in the Bible, even God himself said, if you'll be generous, you will be compensated. You will be blessed. John MacArthur said this, the meaning view giving as merely another obligation. It's not an obligation. It's really a privilege. It's but in its reality, it's a priceless privilege. Because it is the pipeline which God promised blessings to his people. We all want to be blessed, right? Here's how you be blessed. Be generous. Now, I hope that's not your only motive for being generous, but it's true. You know, like that, maybe you need a little help being generous. Well, when you are generous, God is going to bless. You'll be compensated. God's not going to forget that. It may be with your time. It may be with your money. It may be with your talent. I can't tell you everything, but what I can tell you that God said, if you will be generous, you will be blessed. That's why generous giving to God results in greater giving from God in an impossible to outgive him. So in case you maybe like me, like, man, I need to do better. Maybe being convicted. I didn't need to do better in general, okay? But here's the icing on the cake. You'll be compensated. And if you'll do this, you're gonna be compensated. And I will tell you, I mean, I don't know how many times that, and I'm not, if there's a person that goes into this, and I think it does, I mean, some people just easily give better than others. I'm not the best giver. I had to budget it in my budget. I budget in others' phone. Because that's kind of how my mind is. I mean, I even do give, you know, even when I don't have it in the budget. But I budget so much money a month just to be giving, to buy people meals and things like that sometimes. And I'm not a free giver like some people. But I have seen in my own life when I give, I mean, it's just little stuff. I mean, let's say I give someone pay $20. And he turns around and somehow I always get more money back. I mean, it's funny how many times that's actually happened. So many times that I've joked with my wife about it. I said, well, I'm going to keep doing this, you know. Man, it ain't a good investment, you know, being funny. But it's true. God will bless you. He will compensate you. And I'm not going to shy away from that because I know you said, well, that's not the right reason. No, God said it here. So you need to know it. And I mean, cause maybe it is difficult for you to give and to be generous. There it is. There's your good motivation right there. That's why. Paul here suggests them to be generous. Because it was expected. And because we will be blessed if we do. That's why we are to be generous. So as we conclude this morning, just three things that we understand. As we look at generosity, that we get a better understanding and hopefully it'll help us be generous. And that generosity comes from your relationship with God, not your situation. Stop making excuses. And if you're not being generous, and I don't know if you are or not, only you know that. If you're not being generous, stop making excuses. And it comes from your relationship, not your situation. Number two, generosity is done voluntarily, sacrificially, and eagerly. Do these words describe you when it comes to generosity? If not, then maybe you're not as generous as you think. And maybe you need to repent. Number three, generosity is expected. But be glad, because you will be blessed. That's what we learn in our scripture today about generosity. And we stand at our feet. with hands bowed and eyes closed. It's kind of I've never preached on generosity. But as I did, and it really spoke to me. I know many of you have taught me and encouraged me by your example to be generous. I know that many of you are generous, okay? I know that. I've been on the receiving end of that many times. But we want to preach what the Word of God says. But maybe you're not as generous as you could be. You know? Maybe you're not. Maybe you know deep down that you could give maybe it's time, money, your talent. Maybe you're not being as sacrificial as you know you could be. Maybe you're being selfish. Maybe when you do things, you're not doing it eagerly. I don't know what it is in your life, but if you are like me and know that I say, man, I need to be more generous. Why don't you pray too? Why don't you talk to God and, Lord, forgive me for not being generous. Lord, help me to know what real generosity is and help me change me from the inside out. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for all these people in here, Lord, and for the faithfulness to be here. Lord, I know that now a lot of these angels are at different times, and Lord, they're here because they want to be. Lord, I know that many of them are faithful to you, and they care, Lord, and they are concerned, and they are generous. But Lord, I know that if they're like me, they could probably do better. Lord, I know that, especially when it comes to time. Like, I can't myself, Lord, being so, selfish with my time many times. And even if I do something, I know that deep down, I will be doing this with that, Lord. Father, forgive me of that, Lord. Lord, even when I give, sometimes, Lord, I give, Lord, and my heart's not what the Macedonians were. Lord, a great example, Lord. They were begging to give more, Lord. And Lord, Father, that doesn't describe me many times. Lord, I ask you to be with each of these people in here, Lord, and you take your finger and you place it on their hearts and the thing that they need to change, Lord. I ask, Lord, to help them, Father, to do that. Lord, help them to do business with you and to grow, Lord, today. Lord, if you reveal to us something in our hearts, and we'll change it, Lord. And we won't just bypass it, but we'll change it. And Lord, we'll let you mold us as a soft clay in your hand. Lord, I do ask you to be with each of them today, Lord. Thank you for their faithfulness. And ask you, Lord, to be with them this week. And Lord, I do ask you to bless us, Lord, as well. Lord, thank you for all in Christ's name. Amen.